chapter 25 with me really quickly. I do want to give a report. We kind of relaunched our Wednesday night services this past Wednesday. And so if you haven't come to Wednesday night church, I just want to invite you to come and hang out. We have a group for men. It's called Mud Bugs. We got really creative with that, and we just copied the ladies group because they're called Ladybugs. So the ladies group is called Ladybugs, and they meet back here in the office annex. The men kind of meet wherever we gather. Sometimes we're inside, sometimes we're outside. All the time we're thinking about something good to eat. And then we've got Next Level Youth. Let me tell you, if you know somebody that's in that junior high school range, tell them to come and hang out with Pastor Jason. Pastor Jason's got this huge heart for the students in our community, and I'm just believing that God's going to do some really cool things in our young people. And so we've got something for everybody on Wednesday night. So if you haven't come, and there's an adult solid foundation Bible study here out front on Wednesday nights as well. So if you haven't come and hung out with us on Wednesday night, please do so, because it's a lot of fun, and you can learn something too. So Matthew chapter 25 verse 14 says, "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also who had the 2 talents came forward saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents here, and I have made 2 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And now we have the third guy, the one that dug the hole. He also who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is yours.' But his master answered him, 'You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into outer darkness, in that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Can we pray really quickly before we go further? God, I just pray right now that you continue to bless this service with your presence. God, give me the right words to say. God, that lives and hearts could be impacted this morning, and that you would be glorified above all else. In the name of Jesus, we all could say together, amen. So we have some guys here who have, two of them have done a good thing for their master. They've caused his money to grow. They've invested. That's great. And he's proud of them. And have you ever gotten in trouble at work and just felt like when you see a dog and they have their tail and it's just like tucked in between their legs and they have those droopy little eyes? I'm like, I'm sorry. Yeah, have you ever had that moment at work? I remember my first job, I was an executive of stocking bags at Piggly Wiggly. And I was the chief bag boy of my register, not all the registers, just the one I was on. But listen, I thought one day, I was working in the back, and I found something. It's the most amazing thing that mankind has come up with. It's called dry ice. And I was a wise man at the age of 16. And so I took the dry ice, and I never really messed with dry ice. And I was kind of, messing with it. And I said, but this is kind of neat. And so I got this big block of dry ice, and I had heard that if you put dry ice in water, something really neat would happen. And so I went into the mop room, and I got a big yellow mop bucket, and I filled it up with water. And then I got this huge, guys, I mean, this block of dry ice was like the size of a football. And so I got this thing, and I'm like, oh, this is going to be cool. It's going to make a little bit of, like, smoke, right? It's going to make a little bit of fog. So I dumped it in there. More fog than I've ever seen in my entire life. Okay? It was awesome. And it was so awesome that I wanted it to be a little less awesome. And I sat there and I thought, what is about to happen? And it just kept bubbling over, and it filled up the little, there was in the mop room, there was like a kind of a hole there with a drain in the bottom, and it filled up the hole and it kept coming up. And I thought, okay, fog, you can stop. We get it. You're scary. And it kept coming up and it came out of there and it filled up the whole back room. And at this point, I did what any grown man would do, and I ran away. So I evacuated the situation. Hopefully no one would realize that, I was the one that did this, and I got out of there. And if you've ever been down to Piggly Wiggly here in Spring Hill, they have like the eggs and the milk. Well, the mop room's right behind that. And so I just kind of went over there, and I was pretending to work, and, I kept looking over at the fog coming out from the door into the aisle. And I thought, whoa, that's a cool special effect. And so eventually somebody's shopping, they come by, they see it, they think it's smoke. They said, oh Lord, there's a fire. And they ran up to the front and they said, there's a fire. And so the front people, they get on the thing and they say, there's a fire. Now everybody thinks there's a fire. And I'm just still over here messing with these eggs. And here comes the manager. They run in this place. They're going through all this fog, and they realize it's not smoke, it's fog, and they find the mop bucket with the stupid... Anyway. You ever had one of those moments where everybody knew, and you're just like, hi. I put my pants on, And like... And so I went to the office, and it's just like in school, when you go to the office, it's not a good thing. And so I go to the office, and the manager's very upset, and if my grandfather had not been kind of somebody in that company, I probably wouldn't have been at that job for very much longer. But anyway, I got chewed out like bubble gum, y'all. I got chewed out like some bazooka bubble. I mean, threw the comic away and chewed me out, okay? So I kind of feel for this third guy, because that's kind of what happened, He goes in and he's like, well, master, I was scared. And so I, sorry. And the master's like, man, you messed up bad. But see, there's a difference here, because the first two guys did not settle. And how many of us in our lives have settled? I know I have. You've settled for good when you could have had great. Please don't ever settle. Don't ever park on good when you can have great. So, today my title is Good versus Great. And I want to give you a couple of definitions here, so I'll sound like a smart person. And the first one is good. Good is defined as having the qualities required for a particular role. Good is defined as having the qualities required for a particular role. Is he a good driver? Well, he's never killed anyone. Yet. Good is nice. Good's nice. But good is just good, you know? Brittany does cups. I'm sure some of you guys have them. And she'll spin a cup and she'll put designs all over and it'll look really cool. And she'll show it to me and she'll say, "Hey, what do you think?" And I'll be like, "That's good." And she'll be like, "Good?" I'm like, "Yes, it looks good." "Good?" And I'm like, "It's awesome," you know? And so then you just keep digging. And so good is kind of a cap point. It's good, but it's just good. There's a next level. Here's a commercial for our youth ministry. It's called Next Level Youth. You need to send your teenagers there. Get them some Jesus. There's a level above good, and that's great. The definition of great is of ability, quality, or eminence considerably above the normal or average. Let me read that one more time. Great is of ability, quality, or eminence considerably above the normal or average. So good, let's go back and look at good one more time. Good is having the qualities required. Okay? Just enough to pass, go. Great is considerably above normal or average. You can have a good marriage, or you can strive for a great life together where you both grow closer to each other and to God. You can be a good tither, or you could become a great giver who trusts God with your finances. You could be a good friend or a great companion who is closer than a brother. You could be a good church attender, or you could become a great Christ follower who serves with unwavering faith. Your prayer life can be good, or you can pray in such a way that God reveals himself to you in great ways. You can be a good worshiper and sing along. You can even sing on key. Says make a joyful noise. Sometimes that's all I can bank on, okay? That's why I say, y'all sing it again, because I'm going to just step back, okay? Let them do it, because sometimes your boy, whoa. Listen, you can be a good worshiper and sing along, or you can experience the greatness of God's presence as you cry out his truths. Let me just give you a little worship seminar for like 2 minutes. Worship is the hardest, in my opinion, it's the hardest thing we do in church. Because it's awkward. Everybody stands up, we start singing these songs. Maybe you don't even like them. Maybe we don't even like them. Sometimes we sing songs I don't like. And sometimes I don't even know where we're going. And sometimes Christine will be over there on that piano and she'll be like, and I'll just be like, it's good. It's, you know, we're praising. But look, I want to challenge you when we're worshiping. Lift up God's truth. Lift up what he's done for you. That's what praise is. And so that's why when I'm standing here on the mic, I say, God, you're so good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Redeemer. Because I'm lifting up the truth of what he's done for me. And I'm praising my Redeemer for who he is. That's why we call it praise and worship. And that's one of the hardest things we do at church. You could be a good worshiper and sing along. That's awesome. Last week, the last song we sang, I could hear everybody singing. Y'all, it blessed me so much. Blessed me. Come on. You could be a good worshiper can sing along. You can be a great worshiper and strive to enter the presence of God. The way you break through the good barrier, you know there's a barrier there. When you're good, let's say you've got a job and it's working for you. It's good, but you desire more. You dream about doing something that's more. You want more for yourself. Maybe that good job is kind of holding you back spiritually. Maybe it's kind of holding you back mentally, and you're just kind of struggling. You say, well, it's good, so I could just kind of ride this out. And you face that good barrier. The way you break through the good barrier is to give up on feeling safe and forget the fear of failure. The man with one talent was so afraid that he settled. Good was good enough for him because he was afraid. How many of us have ever stopped dead in our tracks and settled for something because we were too scared to step out in faith? We were too afraid to progress, even though maybe progress was right in front of us. All we had to do was go. But we're too afraid. Let me tell you one point here. We want to break down why this guy failed, why he didn't break that good barrier and step into greatness. And the first thing is he was afraid. Followers of Jesus do not operate in fear. Let me say it one more time. Followers of Jesus do not operate in fear. Fear is the remover of all hope, while Jesus carried the hope of mankind on his shoulders. Fear says, I am too broken, too sinful to redeem. And hope says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come on, somebody. When we are too afraid to progress, it stops us. Maybe you've got a good situation. Cool. I'm happy for you. But I'd be so much more excited for you if you had a great situation. I believe that God wants to bless us with great. Not good. Good can get you there. Come on. Let me preach Pentecost. Can I preach Pentecost, Pastor Daphne? I got 14 minutes. Listen. When you get saved, you say, Christ, I want you in my heart. I want to follow you. Guess what? You're in. I'm so happy for you. But you know what? There's more. You know what? There's more. When you press in to Jesus and you say, I want the presence. I want your presence in my heart. I want the Holy Spirit to surround me and fill me up. Guess what? When you step into that family of Christ, it's like you're carrying a toolbox around. And it's great. You got it. That's what's required to finish the race is this, okay? But listen. When you experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the infilling of the Spirit in your life, it's like you open that joker and you have all this access. And all of a sudden you step from good, I'm a good Christian, I'm faithful, I go to church, I tithe, I lift people up, and you step into greatness. And guess what, man? The floodgates are open. So that's my Pentecostal sermon. We're going to do a series on the Holy Spirit really soon, and I'm so excited. Followers of Jesus do not operate in fear. We know that Christ is faithful to us. We follow him, and his feet do not lead us astray. Just keep going. Just keep going. And even if it seems scary, even if it seems like, oh, man, I can't do that. I'm going to stay right here on good, on comfortable. Don't do that. Almost every time, I'm going to just tell you this, almost every time that God is going to bring you and grow you, you're going to have to go through some pain. You're going to have to go through something. You're going to have to go through an experience. The most growth that I have ever experienced in my walk with Christ was the hardest time. It was the hardest season. And I spoke to a minister about a month ago, and his church was letting him go. And I was so brokenhearted for this young man because he was doing a good job. He was doing a good job. And his church was letting him go. And I spoke to him, and we were driving down the road together, and he began to weep. And my heart was broken. And I thought, what do I say to this guy? What can I say to make him feel better? And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, JB, do you remember when you were broken? And I told him, I said, listen, I'll tell you something. You've been sitting on something good here, but I believe that God has greatness in store for you. And you're going through a season right now that's hard, and it's scary. It's terrifying to you. You're moving away from your income. This guy had zero income after the end of the week where I was talking to him. No income, no home, no nothing. And I said, listen, I know this is impossible for you to even hear right now, but please try. Plug in to Jesus. Because you've been sitting on good, I promise you God's got greatness ahead. But you've got to hang on, and you've got to follow, and you cannot let fear become a lie that challenges your hope. Followers of Jesus, the men with five and two talents, they broke through the good barrier. So followers of Jesus have audacious faith in the face of nasty things. Audacious faith that is offensive to every demon and every dark presence that comes around you. Your faith is so offensive to them, they cannot stand it. But you, as a follower of Jesus, you have audacious, offensive faith. Faithlessness demands silence and low standards. It demands timid hearts and cautious dreams. Faith says to the mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea. And guess what? Mountain has got to go. Because your faith is so big. Because Jesus is so good. He's so great. As I begin to close, Brittany, if you would come up. Is she here? She's here. Okay. That would have been embarrassing. We want to break through that good barrier. And listen, I want to say this as your pastor, as your friend. I know. I don't just believe. I know. God has greatness in store for all of you here, if you're watching today, if you're listening on our podcast, God has greatness in store for you and for your family. Guess what? May not happen tomorrow. May not happen in the next few months. And this year has been a year that a lot of people have settled for. This year, a lot of people have been so afraid that we've just sat down and said, well, Lord, when God's calling us to stand up and speak the truth, don't ever sit down. Don't ever give up. Jesus didn't give up on me. He didn't give up on you. So I am not going to give up. Even when I can't see the light. You know what happened on the cross? Christ had to be abandoned in darkness so he could pull me out of darkness, right? So he could pull me into light. He had to die in darkness. And even in that moment, the darkest moment humanity has ever gone through, that our world has ever seen, when the Lamb of God, the one perfect person, was killed and his blood was shed, that moment was for me. That moment was for you. to tell you about Peter. Peter is my favorite of the 12.
Why?
Because Peter is the least perfect. I see me in Peter. When I read about the things that Peter does and says, I see me. Peter was not the ideal disciple. Think about Peter if he was your employee. He would have fired that boy. He was rash, short-tempered, faithless, and often missed the big picture. I mean, the dude cut off a man's ear right there in front of Jesus. But then what happens? Then what happens? Peter has this moment, his lowest. He denies Jesus. Why? Because he's afraid. And he settles for safety. Whoa, I don't want to be with Jesus right now because bad things are happening. And even though he's seen every miracle, and even though he's seen people raised from the dead, lives changed, broken hearts mended through Jesus' ministry, even though he's seen all that, he's scared and he settles. And he can't break through that barrier of good to great. And so he denies Christ. But then something happens after Jesus is crucified, he's resurrected, and he reveals himself to the disciples. And y'all, this is one of the heaviest portions of scripture to me, because I'm Peter. I am Peter. They're fishing, Peter and some of the other guys, and they see a man on the shore. Says, is that Jesus? What does Peter do? Peter's so desperate to fix what he's done. He's so desperate to embrace Christ that he doesn't wait until the boat gets back to shore. He jumps over and he swims. And he's not even that great of a swimmer. You remember that one time Jesus had to save him? He swims to shore and he says, Lord, it's you. You're back. I'm Peter, because I've settled and I've been reinstated. Because that's what happens when Peter embraces Jesus. Jesus reinstates him and he gives him a challenge to be great instead of good. He says, Peter, do you love me? Peter says, yes, Jesus. He says, then feed my sheep and do the work. He says, Peter, if you love me, then don't you ever settle for good again. And Peter goes on to be one of the greatest, one of the most important figures in the early church. He even is crucified upside down because he doesn't want to be crucified. He says, I'm not worthy to be crucified the same manner as my Lord. So crucify me upside down. And so my challenge to you today, church, is do whatever it takes. If you've got to jump out of the boat and swim to shore and embrace Jesus, do it and break through the good barrier, because I promise you that God has greatness planned for you. Stand with me today. I want to pray together. God, you're so good. You're so great.